Well, the Blue Jays off to a great start on this extended road trip, the first of 9 road games on a swing that will take them through Minneapolis, where they are right now, St. Louis and Philly. But you know what? Road trips are always better with wins. And the Blue Jays get their 34th win of the season, their 9th win in the last 11 games. That dates back to the beginning of the Rangers series. Jays are 34-29, 5 games above 500, which I believe is a new watermark for the season. A 6-4 win over the Twins in Minnesota. You're listening to Jays Talk Show. Ali here with you. We're live on the Sportsnet Radio Network, also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. You can give me a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text me as well, 590-590, name and location. The People's text line is always open. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. Maybe we'll give it like a minute. You know, maybe we'll give it a minute. There's like 50 seconds left in Panthers Oilers. So maybe once that game is done, we'll get more calls. But either way, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You know, before we get to anything, real quick, I think it's fair to say it was an abysmal strike zone tonight, right? Like, I'm not imagining that. Batters and pitchers on both teams were getting hosed all over the place tonight. Jeffers probably getting the worst of it. I mean, I think Little got a little bit, Hoffman a little too as well. I mean, it wasn't pretty, right? I mean, apparently the commissioner's office is going to propose bringing ABS to the majors as soon as next season. So I got to think a lot of us, and I mean, hand up, I've been in favor of robo umps, at the very least, the robo challenges for a very long time. So I'm in favor, but man, like the ump scorecards, if you follow that account on social, like on X, ain't going to look pretty, I think, for this game. But still, it's a positive for us, at least here on Jays Talk, a 6-4 win over the Twins in Minnesota. You know, I'm here at Baseball Control, and once the game is done, you know what they do is they'll, like, roll, at least for a little while, they'll roll, like, B-roll of the game, essentially, or not, maybe B-roll is the wrong word. They'll just roll highlights of the game from a variety of different angles, like the high home, the you know, all the various angles from every camera in the ballpark, essentially. And right now, they're rolling Addison Barger. And it's funny, I was on Jays Talk Plus earlier today, and apologies for anyone unfortunate enough have to listen to me on JTP on the pregame show and now on Jays Talk Classic. But on Jays Talk Plus with Jules today, we wrapped up the show by talking about who has been the Jays' biggest surprise. And the Athletics' Mitch Bannon picked Brendan Little. We'll get to him. He also had Alejandro Kirk as an honorable mention. Julia went with Yariel Rodriguez, all of whom are great picks. Honestly, I went with Addison Barger because he's a guy. I mean, he had never really put it all together at the same time, right, before now. Obvious power, but it never really hit consistently. Great fielder, but just couldn't get enough playing time to utilize it enough to make a difference. All the metrics, you know, all the khakiest of metrics in terms of bat speed and power and barrel rate and hard hit rate and all these fun things seemed to support him being pretty good in the minors, but it was just never really reflected in major league results. Until now, I guess, right? I mean, I had said a month ago that I wanted to see him do it more consistently. I said earlier this morning that I hope Barger keeps it up. He has, at least so far, answered most, if not basically every question that I think we, and I'm using the royal we here, we have collectively asked. I mean, this guy murders baseballs. He never, ever gets cheated on those bombs. And it's a bomb in every sense when he hits these towering fly balls. I mean, he has a pretty great arm that he's been able to show off as well. His baseball savant page is just dripping blood red, which generally speaking is a good thing. And we're seeing the results on the field too. I mean, he just gives this team an extra dimension they haven't had offensively in what feels like a while, certainly from a third baseman. I know he was in the outfield tonight, but he has just been terrific no matter where he plays. I think generally speaking, you got to give the guy as much playing time, lefty or righty on the mound, as he can handle, right? See what he is. I think we know, generally speaking, the league tends to adjust to players. Like, we saw how they adjusted to David Schneider after his hot start, and maybe he's now adjusted back. But, man, when the league inevitably adjusts to Barger, how will he respond, right? You want to see that. You might as well just give him every opportunity to figure that out now and also ride the hot hand as much as you can as well. By the way, I was saying we were holding out for more calls, and we have one caller right now, and we'll go to that caller in a sec here. But you know, I said we were waiting for more calls to see if the Oilers game ended. Well, the game is going to overtime because Corey Perry has decided he wants to win tonight and not wait for another night. So there you go. So kudos to Oilers fans, I suppose. But let's go to the phone lines. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Brendan in Edmonton. Brendan, I guess you're not watching the Oilers game.
Oh, more of a Jets and Jays fan myself.
Okay. That's fair.
From Winnipeg originally, so
okay, understandable.
You know, but I just wanted to talk and give my kudos to the bullpen tonight. I mean, even though Schultz gave up, didn't really have the best of luck as the opener, and it seems like the two guys we've put out the last two bullpen games haven't really had good luck with their outings, but everybody else seemed to really step up. I mean, Yariel Rodriguez just continues to establish himself as a standout guy there. And I got it, like, you know, I mean, like, Little struggled clearly in that outing, but I thought it showed a lot of guts from him just to keep battling through there, even though he clearly didn't have his best command tonight. I mean, like, how many 3-2 counts he was in, the number of balls to strikes, it was almost even, I think, after the outing. So, you know, I mean, like, he's going to need at least 2-3 days to recover from that. But, you know, at the start of the year, I would have pinpointed left-handed relief out of the pen as probably a big hole. And to see the breakouts of, was it Fluharty?
Yeah.
And Little this year have been really, really encouraging for me going forward for the rest of the season. And, you know, the run differential, the one stat Jack Belair loves to bring up all the time. We are finally in the positive for the first time in a long time. I don't think we've been in positive yet this year. And so, you know, just keep that upward trajectory going.
What do you think, before I let you go, Brendan, what do you think of Lauer? We talk about lefty guys. I mean, I know technically he's a bullpen arm, but I mean, he's been one of the more, especially on these bullpen days, he's been arguably the best arm outside of, I would agree, Yariel Rodriguez, basically every single time out. What do you think of Lauer?
He's got some gumption there, definitely. I mean, like, he's throwing, what, was 92 to 94 with his fastball, but it's not the hardest stuff, but he seems a little tricky out there. It seems like guys aren't really picking up the ball very well out of his hand. Maybe that's a lack of familiarity from him not having a lot of outings and not a very deep scouting report on him coming into the game. But I like what I've seen so far. It's just, you've got to, for me, you don't really start judging what a pitcher can do, especially as a reliever, until they start getting up to like the 50, 60 inning mark, when the league can make adjustments to what they're doing out there with their pitches.
Hey, Brendan, I appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in on an Oilers night, but I do very much appreciate it. Yeah, I'm with you on Lauer. Like, I think when you haven't seen someone, and I think this is not just on Lauer, right? It's on everyone. But so you want to see, I think, larger sample sizes for everyone. But in like the micro sense, as we're discussing it right now, I've been very impressed by Lauer, right? I got to say, I mean, I know he didn't start tonight, and we'll kind of talk about the pitching and this bullpen start as a whole, certainly. We'll include Fluharty and Little in there, as Brendan got to. But, I mean, Lauer came out firing. They gave him a clean inning. Schneider had actually said pregame that the entrance for Lauer was going to depend on the landing spot. Like, he comes in to face the middle of the order, and I think they were really hesitant, it seemed, to let Lauer start on a quote-unquote not clean inning, like with a runner on third and two outs, for example. So definitely good that Schultz did not have to see Trevor Larnach a second time. Larnach actually factored into a lot of really massive leverage moments for half the bullpen, essentially, in this game, including Jeff Hoffman at the very end of this game. But Lauer comes in to face the middle of the order. No Schultz for Larnach. And I got to say, impressive. A hit and a walk allowed. No runs, two strikeouts. The fastball, like Brendan was saying, yeah, it hovered. I think it averaged about 92.5, 92.8 miles an hour. Got up to just a tick over 94 miles an hour. Command looked good. And I know people might complain about yanking Lauer. I just have to imagine, had Lauer not pitched in the emergency situation against the Phillies on Tuesday, he probably would have gone longer today. Just a little bit, I would imagine, because everyone pitched largely very well, hindsight being what it is. But he threw 43 pitches on Tuesday, then he was asked to throw 44 more, essentially less than three full days later. So I will say, like, in this particular case, I'm with people certainly sometimes when we have these discussions on are hooks too quick, for example, but I'm not going to quibble with it. I think in this one, I guess you probably could have left him in for one more batter, but at 44 pitches, I don't know if you want to risk a circumstance that could see him get into a protracted battle with Larnick, for example. So I do understand it. Paxton Schultz, though, and when you're talking about all these guys, I think you talk about them in a day like this, in a more complete sense, because I think when you look at your fifth starter, and I mean, in the case of Schultz and Lauer, you're really talking about like the sixth and seventh starters, even though maybe neither of them are true quote unquote starters. But when you look at the back end of the rotation, and I've said this before many times, if you're getting three earned runs or less allowed, I think you take it. Now, in this case, I would think it has to be three earned runs total, not like for each of them, maybe four if you're being very, very, very generous. But I mean, that still seems like a lot, but you need them to at least give you a chance to win, right? That's all. Like, you don't need them to be perfect. We don't need to let perfect be the enemy of good when it comes to these kinds of starts where the Blue Jays are right now. But and especially when it comes to the back end of a starting rotation. But again, you just need to get them to give you a chance. It is kind of funny, though, because the Jays, I mean, if you want to combine them all into one pitcher, which of course you can't really do, but just for the sake of this conversation, they kind of got a quality start out of this combination of Paxton Schultz, Eric Lauer, Mason Fluharty, and let's count the one out from Yariel Rodriguez in the sixth, right? So before Y-Rod came back out for bottom seven, right, these guys combined had five hits, three earned runs, two walks, five strikeouts over six innings of work. I mean, that's pretty good, all things considered, even more so when you consider that all three of those earned runs came from one guy, right? Now on Schultz, he did throw a meatball to Larnick, right? I mean, he murdered that thing good and dead. That was a real violent swing by a very strong man. Very few batters are going to miss hitting a home run on a four-seamer right down the middle, and Larnick did not miss. You know, when he was missing Schultz, he was missing right down the middle. I mean, the big doubles from Royce Lewis, Christian Vasquez, and those same kind of categories as well. It's not really a problem, I think, if he's simply your long man, like the guy who pitches when you're up or down big. When you're trying to hold the score to start a game, that's not ideal, right? But Lauer did come in. He helps them out. They get their first hit on the Barger home run, which we talked about. And then they get into the bullpen. And I got to say, Mason Fluharty is just, generally speaking, a pleasure to watch, right? I honestly thought, like Brandon, there was a chance the left-handedness of the bullpen this year, Lauer aside, right? But I kind of thought it would be at least a slight weakness. And I say this as someone who did pick Fluharty as my dark horse earlier in the season, but even in my wildest dreams, I never thought he'd be this effective. I mean, he's been terrific, right? The cutter and the sweeper both look phenomenal. He gets Wallner on the cutter. He gets Lee. And I mean, to be fair, Lee is still a pretty young batter, not even a full year in the majors. So I think you give him a bit of a pass. At the same time, he's in the majors. You got to make these plays, but he gets got on that sweeper, right? I mean, just arcing left to right, and then it dives below the zone. That's filthy. And I don't know about you guys, but this is less quantifiable, more just of like a fun observation, but he has a little attitude to him. Like, he's bobbing his head, right? A little F yeah type of attitude, right? I mean, he's striking guys out and feeling himself. And I think, generally speaking, I've always felt that is positive for any athlete to have, because I think most athletes, if you want to succeed, I have to think, in many, many interviews we've done, even with people who work here at Sportsnet, whether it's Barker or Caleb or any of the guys, have said you have to go onto that field or ice or court or whatever, feeling that you are the baddest you know what to ever walk planet Earth. And I'm not saying that's exactly what Fluharty is, but I do think, for a reliever in particular, you want your relievers to have memories like a goldfish, but also have the attitude of a bulldog. And I think that's a really tough line to walk. So kudos to Fluharty. I really do look forward to seeing more of that. To Brendan's point about Yariel Rodriguez, I mean, a few nights off for him. So we got to see him for the first time in a little bit. But he did walk the batter to start, but he really, after that, started filling up the strike zone to end the sixth and for really the whole of the seventh. I mean, he threw 24 pitches in this game. 21 of them were fastballs or sliders. And on those pitches, he got strikes on 13 of them. Like, he really started to find it in the seventh, and he has been terrific. Like, that's just his role now. I can't even see them stretching him out at this point, given how consistent he has been. This is from my pal Josh Goldberg, who is, in my opinion, Jay Goldberg 12 on X, one of the best Blue Jays follows out there. But Josh, putting this stat out for us, Y-Rod's ERA on May 5th was 5.64. Okay, 5.64. Since then, he is not allowed to run. That's on May 5th. It's June 6th. And his ERA after tonight is 2.61. That is ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. So well done by Y-Rod. And again, to Brendan's point, Little did look like he had some trouble locating the fastball, right? He just wasn't throwing strikes with that thing. He walks Larnick, gives up a sharp line drive single to Ty France. He did, again, get a gift with Ryan Jeffers. And Jeffers was probably getting replaced anyways, so I guess it doesn't matter ultimately. I mean, he's going to get fined, I guess. But I suppose he got his money's worth in getting tossed. But, I mean, let's face it, if a Blue Jays batter got hosed like that in such a high leverage moment in a game, we would be on here spitting fire. So I do understand Jeffers being mad. And from, you know, that point of view, I understand the Twins crowd, the Target Field crowd being mad, but I mean, great Kirk framing on that whole AB and some great blocking from Kirk as well. But that's tough. We did have the, I mentioned before, the Athletics, Mitch Bannon on earlier today on Jays Talk Plus. And Mitch actually did pick Brendan Little as his standout surprise. And he went on to say that Little could even be an all-star. And I got to say, after not being able to locate the fastballs, runners on the corners, nobody out, to see him go to the curve and the knuckle curve to allow only one run, despite how much he struggled, I got to say, I'm really impressed. I'm so little. Maybe I'm not as, no pun intended, I'm not quite as close as maybe like Dan Shulman is and Mitch Bannon are when it comes to Little being a slam dunk all-star. The Blue Jays only had one representative. I'm not 100% sure I'd give it only to Little, but he does deserve it because he's been so amazing. Tonight, again, to Brendan's point, he threw a ton of pitches. Like, that is a lot of pitches in a single inning for any pitcher, but certainly for a reliever. I got to think Clemens was the final batter he was going to see no matter what, but doesn't that kind of tell you something about how the team views both Little and, let's say, Chad Green, who was the guy that was warming? And I understand, like, the splits with lefties versus righties, who the Twins still had on the bench, all these things factor in, as we know. But I got to say that they'd rather chance things with Little throwing almost 40 pitches in a single inning versus trotting Chad Green out there with a runner on third base, I think tells you at least something. And Hoffman, we got the good Hoffman tonight, right? That's definitely a positive. He was doubling up on the fastball. He was locating it well. He got Bader over the first strikeout. He had absolutely no idea what was coming. I mean, well done. I know he did walk or... Yeah, he allows Buxton to reach base, and then he gets the second guy, so which is the top of the Twins' order. So, you know, well done by Hoffman. I think there's been some clenching going on when Hoffman has entered the game in the last, like, month or so. But, I mean, in a couple appearances in June so far, he's been pretty good, so you'll definitely take it. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. 590-590, name and location. Let's go to the text line. And we will read some text before we take a quick break here. Those are numbers to call, by the way. But I do understand. I feel like we get less calls on nights where big-time games are going on. And that Corey Perry has extended the game two of the Stanley Cup Final probably does mean we're going to get fewer calls tonight. But there you go. Sink in London. Maybe short for Sinclair. I don't know. But Sink says, I haven't been this excited about a Jays position player in years and years as I am about Barger. Kid looks like a baseball player. The power, baseball IQ, versatility, and arm are worth the watch alone. Sure hope it continues. Go Jays. Sink, appreciate the text. Yeah, Barger has been, he's just been more fun to watch. And again, I don't think that's really any slight against, again, Ernie Clement. I think primarily because Ernie has also been quite good. But I do believe truly that Barger gives you a dimension the team has not had in a while. Now, and again, the reason I mentioned, like, will the league readjust to him? And will he adjust? And, you know, the game of adjustments goes on. The reason I mentioned it is only because I think since the David Schneider thing from a couple seasons ago, not that I feel burned, but I do think it's just a reminder that things can fall off really quickly, right? So, and again, I'm not saying that's necessarily going to happen for Barger because I do feel like the process looks pretty sound for him. And again, a lot of what he is doing looks sustainable as long as he remains patient. And that's been a big change for him for between this year and years past. But Barger, I mean, if he keeps it up, there's no reason, especially in the absence of Santander and Varsho, there's no reason he can't be that surprise, right? We talked about this a million times, but successful teams need surprises from places you don't necessarily expect. Like if Bo starts slugging, if Vladdy starts slugging, if all these guys start doing it, if Santander comes back and does it, if Varsho does it, those are definitely positive developments, but it's also expected, right? So I'm not sure anyone necessarily expected it to happen for Barter. So very impressive stuff. Dale, Nova Scotia. Dale says, I used to feel hopeless when the Jays fell behind early in the game, but now you feel they're never out of it. It's fun to watch. It's true. I mean, like, I agree with you, Dale, and I appreciate the text, 590, 590. But I also, and I think that's a big difference in, like, again, this is not quantifiable by any means, but it does feel different in, like, the vibes year over year. Vibes last year were dead. They were dead and buried for most of the season, right? But this season, I've been much more happy. Russ from Kingston, to Brendan's point, don't look now, but the Blue Jays have a positive run differential, and I believe that run differential is one, plus one, which is definitely positive. So there you go. Blair has mentioned it a number of times, so definitely a big positive. 590, 590, name and location. That is the People's Text Line. It is always open. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Those are the numbers to call. We're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, we'll go back to the phones, back to the text line, and we'll check out some Bet365 standings and take a look around the rest of the major leagues. You're listening to Blue Jays Talk. Show Ali flying solo tonight, a 6-4 winning edition of Jays Talk. We're back on in a flash on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's when it works out, yeah. It's fun, you know what I mean? But I think you have to. You know, I think the guys in the pen have embraced it a little bit too. You know, big outs from Yariel. You know, he's been so damn good out of the bullpen. But yeah, I think it's kind of fun to game plan for it, you know, and it's you don't want to get caught up in when it doesn't go your way. You go, you know, oh man, I wish we had a fifth starter. It's the hand we're dealt right now, and we're looking forward to Max getting back. But I think that you kind of have to lean into it and try to do what's best each time through.
That is John Schneider talking about piecing together the challenge of piecing together bullpen starts, which, I mean, largely has gone pretty well for the Blue Jays, all things considered. Is it sustainable? I suppose we'll see. It certainly feels like it is sustainable. Chris LaRue was talking about this with Ben Shulman on the radio broadcast, but I think a big challenge when it comes to bullpen days is you basically are relying on not one, but like six different guys to pitch at their best. And I mean, what are the chances of that happening versus like one guy doing it, for example, right? So it's not an easy thing to do. And I mean, I'll give some credit to John Schneider. We've criticized him before. I certainly have, for quick hooks or not quick enough hooks, for example. So I'll give the guy credit because he seems to be pushing the right buttons right now. Welcome back to Jays Talk, of course. Show Ali here with you, here for another 15 minutes or so. Still some time to give me a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. I'll go back to the text line as well in a moment, 590, 590, name and location. But before we do that, let's check in on the Bet365 standings update. Download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. So with our game in the books, the only game in the American League East that is not yet finished are the Baltimore Orioles taking on the Athletics. I almost said the Oakland Athletics, but simply the Athletics in Sacramento. This game is tied at 4. The Orioles are actually riding a 6-game win streak, so we'll see if that gets extended to 7. We had a very early final today. The Rays winning the Battle of Florida, I guess, question mark, if that's what we're calling it. But they beat the Marlins 4-3. The Blue Jays, of course, win 6-4. The Yankees taking on the Red Sox this weekend, so one of those teams bound to lose. And it was the Red Sox who lost that game. The Yankees win 9-6. And yeah, I think that's it, actually. So yeah, well done by everyone in the division. It does mean that everyone but the Red Sox, again, with the Orioles result pending, did pick up a win. So the Yankees are 39-23. The Rays are 34-29, as are the Blue Jays. The Red Sox fall to 30-35. And again, the Orioles are 25-36. So they're still a ways back before we can, I think, start including them in these conversations again. But let's get back to the text line, 590-590, name and location, and the phone lines, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Let's go to Hamilton. Tim in Hamilton joining us here on the phones. What's up, Tim?
Hey, show, killing it as always.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, Kirky, I thought he was a shrewd move by Mark, by Ross. And I'm not generally a Ross fan. Like, honestly, I think there have been a lot of sort of fireable offenses in the last couple of years. But, you know, if you think about Kirk, think about Jano. Everyone was always defending him, but the guy was hurt most of the time. When he wasn't hurt, he was hitting .150. And everyone always said, you know, like everyone, the pitchers are doing so much better when he's in the game. There hasn't been much of a fall off with his departure. Kirk's defense is killer. He's hitting well. I know he had a down season last year, but like, if you think about that whole, you know, what the pundits say with 1500 at bats, right? The first 500, you establish yourself in the league. For the second 500, the league adjusts. Third 500, you readjust. You know, I think he's coming up on 1500 now. And so like, this is probably the actual Kirky that we're seeing. So I think it was just, you know, smart business to get him done before he came back out of his shell. And like, you know, he's paying off. He's so solid. Like, guy doesn't get hurt. He's in there all the time. And yeah, just being a really nice story and nice to see him enjoying himself.
Hey, Tim, I appreciate the call. And that's a great point by you when to shout out Kirk, we haven't spoken about yet tonight. There's actually a couple of texts that agree with you, Tim. There's a Tony from Bradford on the text line saying, how about some love for Kirk? Every time there's two strikes, I just expect him to get a hit. And this one is from Tim in Toronto. So different Tim. Kirky's swing looks like it did when he first came up. Pitchers can't throw it by him. It's ridiculously flat. He isn't swinging at pitchers' pitches. The look in his eye is that he expects to connect. Again, thank you, Tim. And yeah, I mean, look, hand up. I did not think this was sustainable. But all Kirk has done is prove me wrong. So kudos to you if you never got off the Kirk train like I did, because he has been really fun to watch. I mean, Kirk continuing to show off with two strikes. I think Blair said this the other night, and I think he's right in that. Don't tell him I said that. But I do think that Kirk is doing something that I think we all consider hitting with two strikes and two outs to be clutch, right? And I know in like today's day and age, it's hard to exactly nail down the definition of clutch. But if hitting well, if being one of the best hitters by batting average with runners in a scoring position with two strikes and two outs is not the definition of clutch, I'm not really sure what is, right? I mean, there was a period this season, certainly early on, when he was not the only issue with this team, but there was a time this season where Kirk with runners in scoring position was abysmal, and things have turned for him to the point where right now there might not be a single player on the team that you'd want up with runners in scoring position more than Kirk. Well done. I mean, again, I remember a conversation I had, and I've said this before, so I apologize if I'm sharing the story again, but I remember a conversation I had with Caleb Joseph of Sportsnet, who, you know, is not like that far removed from being a catcher. I'm like 99% sure that Caleb was like DFA'd for Kirk. I'm like pretty sure. But anyways, I have to fact check that. But regardless, Caleb, one of my favorite human beings, great dude. We're having this conversation, I think on the air, and Caleb was saying that the like, what are the expectations, not just for Kirk, right, but for really any catcher in baseball, if you're expected to be like, quote unquote, the man, right? If you're expected to be the, not just like the 1A to 1B, but the number one catcher catching well over 100 games every season. And I think most people would say the expectation is, at least offensively, is that you take a little bit of a step back, right? And I think that's totally fair. I think if you had modest expectations for Kirk, and I certainly did, but if you had modest expectations for Kirk, then he has far surpassed them, right? And if you look at guys who have long been considered to be, like, again, quote unquote, the man at the catching position, I know Salvador Perez has kind of like transitioned out of a full-time catching role, but he has been that guy traditionally in years past. JT Realmuto has been that guy. Will Smith, I think we believe Adley Rutschman can be that guy. The Contreras brothers, right? Wilson and William Contreras, they're certainly, at least they were viewed as that. I'm not sure if they still are. Hand up, I'm not watching as much Brewers and Cardinals baseball as I think I once was. Maybe one of them is still certainly on the Brewers. But my point being is that I think you can probably count on maybe one hand the amount of players you would expect at the beginning of the season to do, like, to have the combo of 110 caught games and also be a relatively good, merely relatively good hitter. And I think Kirk has exceeded that. So all the praise to Kirk is well-deserved. And hand up, I was wrong. I was wrong on Kirk. 590, 590, name and location. We were talking about Eric Lauer before, Derek and Strathroy on the text line saying Lauer was pitching in Korea last year, gave up a home run to a pitcher back in the day. Credit to the Jays front office and coaches for seeing something in him. Yeah, he's become, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say indispensable, but he has definitely become a very important part of a bullpen that when you compare year over year has easily been offense certainly as well, right? Because how many times do we talk about thumpers and two bats and all these things going back to the offseason? But I mean, last year, I've said this a million times, the bullpen last year was not just bad. It was historically bad. If they were just mediocre last year, they probably win closer to like 85 games. Honestly, they might not still make the playoffs. Fair. But that they are where they are is at least in part due to Eric Lauer. So definitely well done by him. I see this one is from, let's see, Andrew in, I hope I'm not mispronouncing this, Andrew. Andrew in Lillooet, BC. Andrew saying, or asking, it's exciting to watch a team that is having contributions up and down the lineup. Even with injuries to key players, the Jays are showing resilience. What do you think the Jays look like as buyers at the deadline? I mean, look, I think it's getting, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because there's a lot of baseball left to play. There are 99 games left in the season. Today was the 63rd game of the season. So still a lot of games to be played even before now and the deadline, right? But I mean, look, if the offense keeps this up, I think there's a good chance that the highest need on the Blue Jays ask list will probably still be a starting pitcher, right? And again, I think it's just generally speaking easier to go out and buy a pitcher, whether it's a starting pitcher or a relief pitcher. And again, I think relief pitchers are even easier to get. Not that it's like 1,000% easy, but just that in terms of positional scarcity, let's call it, it might be easier to get pitchers who don't want to be paid, who teams don't want to pay tons of money when it comes to versus like batters, for example, right? So I think there's a good chance that could be the case, but some of this we got to see if it's sustainable, certainly from parts of the bottom of the order. But again, I don't think we've seen a lot to suggest that it's not sustainable. So that's where I lean right now, Andrew. I would say right now that could change, but right this second, I'm thinking it's probably a starting pitcher. Real quick, because we're going to get out of here in a couple minutes. Bo, 2-run single, top of the fifth inning. What a bizarre play, right? He just reached out and pokes it out to shallow left center. Chris making the point on the radio broadcast, maybe the Twins weren't playing at regular depth, because as much as Bo will absolutely pad his lead to top the Blue Jays list of most RBIs, you know, I think most shortstops would make that play if they're playing at their regular depth. I mean, might have been a tough call or a tough catch for Brooks Lee, certainly, but I mean, someone could have caught that ball. It was just a strange looking play on the Twins end, but you take it 1,000%. And by the way, on Bo also, a very pretty play by Bo to barehand the ball and get it over to Vladdy. The throw did yank Vladdy a little away from the bag, so well done by him to stay on the bag for the out. But that Bo even got to that blooper, very impressive. George Springer also giving the Jays some needed runs as well, hammering a sweeper that Ober left just a little too much in the zone, right? Like we saw in this game how he wants that sweeper to move, and it just stayed just like a little too much in Springer's zone. I mean, something we've been seeing more this year than we had in a while, but Springer largely punishing mistakes, right? He's not waiting around as much as he did last year. He's cooled off, obviously, but he is ambushing mistakes more frequently, which at this stage of his career, you will take. So here's hoping this is what you're getting more of, right? I think he's at 9 home runs and 25 RBI. It's good for, and again, this could have changed based on how other games went, but as soon as that happened, I checked, that's good for 18th most RBI from an American League outfielder. Probably not all-star level, but pretty good, right? Especially when it comes to qualified outfielders in the American League. So definitely a positive for Springer. Some updates before we go. I know a lot of you want to know about Spencer Turnbull. Now, the last time out, he went 1 2/3. He had 2 earned runs. He walked 3 batters. He threw a little over 50 pitches in those 1 2/3. But they said he was working through some mechanical issues, so they gave him another minor league start. That start was tonight. And, well, it wasn't pretty. Let's put it that way, right? 4 2/3, 7 hits, 5 runs, all of which were earned. 2 walks. He struck out 3. He threw 80 pitches, so a little more stretched out. 47 of them were strikes. Velo was down pretty much on all pitches. Yeah, not great, right? I'm guessing the expectations for Turnbull are not super high. But the thing is with him, he had a 35-day window to be added to the active roster after having already been added to the 40-man when they signed him. So I believe this was the last chance, essentially, for him to make a start in that 35-day window. So I suppose we'll see what their decision is. But if he is added to the roster, I gotta think it would be essentially to take a long man role even if it is like kind of like what Paxton Schultz did tonight. He gets the start, quote unquote, but doesn't go more than a handful of innings, right? I guess they just need length out of literally anyone for a bullpen day, and I guess they could get it in theory with Thurnbull for a few innings at least. That's probably like a pretty optimistic read of how that could go, I admit. We also got a Max Scherzer update courtesy of Arden. Scherzer scheduled to throw 50 to 55 pitches in over three innings in Florida on Sunday. Jays wanted to be as game-like as possible, still determining whether it would be a simulated outing or in a Florida complex league game. And if things go well, Scherzer could be back up in the majors quickly. I mean, given how dire they made the thumb issue sound at the beginning of the year, it kind of sounded like his thumb was about ready to fall off his hand. So that he could pitch in the majors as soon as like the end of the month, I gotta say I'm surprised. My expectations, I'm sure like you guys, are pretty much on the ground, right? Like they're pretty much non-existent. But I have to think, you're willing to try Scherzer at least in lieu or as a part of bullpen days, or at the very least over Bowden Francis. And I guess that does depend on how things go on Sunday. Bowden Francis scheduled to take the series finale. But that does it for us here on Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Spring Hill and Truro, Nova Scotia. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. Protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. For Ben Schulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, I'm Sho Ali. That does it for this quickie solo edition of Jays Talk. Nick Ashmore in with me on Saturday, Julia Kreutz in on Sunday, then Blair and Barker, who are on Blue Jays Central all weekend long. I'm sure you guys saw them. B&B back to their regularly scheduled weekday Jays Talk episodes for the Cardinal series, which goes next week. So, as always, appreciate you all being with me. Go Oilers, I suppose. Cheering for some Canadian hockey results. Still in overtime. We'll see how things go tomorrow on the out-of-town scoreboard. But for now, have a great night, everyone. We'll talk to you later.